Praise God.
Thank you, praise team. Good evening, good evening. We are the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, praise God. We're gonna hop in here. And tonight, we are talking about walking in God's fullness. Walking in God's fullness. So, it is God's will for you to experience all that he has for you. All that he has given you in Christ. And so when we talk about walking in his fullness, that's what we mean. Is that all that God has done, all that God has given us in Christ, that we would experience that, we would avail ourselves to that. It's one thing to have the fullness. The book of Colossians tells us that in him, in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled within him. We know then that he came and dwelled within us. And so the fullness is within us. Jesus said, I and the Father will come make our abode where? In you. So the fullness of the Godhead is in us as it was in Christ. But it's one thing to have the fullness. It's another thing to walk in the fullness or experience the fullness of what God has. When the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you, all of him came. Half of him did not come. All of him came. Father, give me more of your spirit. Ain't gonna happen. He's got one spirit, and the spirit came to live on the inside of you. Father, give me more of your anointing. Ain't gonna happen. That anointing, 1 John says, abides within you. God, give me more of you. I want more of you. You only gave me your foot. Can I get a leg? Can I get an arm? Can I get a neck? God is not a chicken. He came in his fullness to live on the inside of you. But just because the fullness lives on the inside of you does not necessarily mean that you are experiencing that or you are walking in that. I've got a water supply to my house. If I call the water provider up and say, hey, I need some more water. Can you give me some more water? Now, unless there's a problem on their end, and there's not a problem on God's end, they're going to say, we gave you water. Our meter says water is flowing to your property. Our meter says water is flowing into your pipes. you should be able to see water. You should be able to fill your pots and pans with water. What is the problem? The problem is that there are levers within the house that allow the water to come through. And many times what believers are experiencing is not a lack thereof. It is an unveiling of allowing it to come through. When we talk about people being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, more of the Holy Spirit does not come into you at that moment. What happens is people pray with you to assist you in allowing that lever to be turned so that that can manifest and come through as you put a demand on it. God is not lacking. God is not behind. God said, I've given it to you, but it's one thing to have it in position. It's another thing to have it and experience it in manifestation. In science, they say there is potential energy and then there's kinetic energy. Potential energy is standing still. It's there. Kinetic energy is moving. Get her done. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. How does he start this? He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He is praying a few things for them. And one of the things that he's praying is that they would know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, that they would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that they would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Why is he praying that they would be filled up to all the fullness of God if the fullness of God is already on the inside of them? Because it's one thing to have the supply. It's another thing to be allowing access and allowing that supply to flow freely within you, that that fullness is being lived out in experience. Paul says, I'm praying that the lever be turned, that you would experience what God has given you. If Demetrius puts $1 million in my bank account and he says, Brian, it's there, I'm done. If I don't say one, thank you, I can sit and let a week go by, 2 days go by, 2 weeks go by, a month go by, and never experience that $1 million. Nothing is ever bought. Nothing is ever paid off. No one is ever blessed. That $1 million is not moving. Demetrius, you told me you gave me $1 million, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not experiencing it. Demetrius says, well, I ain't coming to your house to give you what I already gave you. It's in the account. go access the account, put a demand on it, and allow it to flow in your life. Well, I don't feel like doing that, Demetrius. I'm too busy, Demetrius. Demetrius then starts to pray. Father, open the eyes of his understanding. I'm praying that he would be filled with the $1 million. Because right now he is, but he ain't. The fullness of the Godhead bodily came to dwell on the inside of you. But are you allowing yourself, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions to be filled with all the fullness of what's in your spirit? It is God's will for you to be filled up to all the fullness of God. John chapter 1, verse 16. For his fullness, we have all received. For of his fullness, we have all received in grace upon grace. It says here that we have received of this fullness. But are we walking in it? Are we laying hold of it? Are we experiencing it? Paul told Timothy this, stir up the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. The gift is in you. You have the gift. But it's one thing to have the gift. It's another thing to be walking in the gift, experiencing the gift, and allowing the gift to flow through you. The gift is in store. The fullness of God is in store. But he said, stir it up. Wake it up. Wake up. Arise in that which you already are. There are the already's of God, but the already's come into manifestation when you put a demand, when you submit, when you stir up, when you lay hold of that which God has for you. If you don't, it will sit there. It will sit there and it will be dormant. The man who was given the one talent had the talent, buried it, and it just sat there. We know how God feels about things that just sit there. So he says, stir up the gift. Whatever gift God has given you, are you stirring it up? Allowing yourself to walk in it. It could be a gift to encourage. It could be a gift to give. It could be a gift to sing. Whatever the gift is, it can be a gift for administration that shows up in business. Whatever the gift is, are you stirring it up on a regular basis? Are you putting a demand on it? Don't let it become idle. Don't let it just sit there, because if you allow it, it will just sit there. And many prayers are based on this. Father, do something, and God is saying, I've already done it. I've already put it in your hand. What's in your hand? And are you working what's in your hand? Are you stirring up that which is already on the inside of you? The fullness of God. So there are some keys to experiencing all that God has for you. One of them is found in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So here, obedience is associated with unbelief, And unbelief is associated with disobedience. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. The word they heard did not profit them. You have a group of people, they all go to the same church. They all hear the same word. Half take that word and do something with it. The other half just let it sit. Half take that word and mix it with faith and prosper and grow and benefit, and the other half don't. The other half that don't say there's nothing going on at that church. No, we all heard the same word, but if you don't mix it with faith, it will not profit you. When you get a word from the Lord through a man of God, through a woman of God, if you don't lay hold of it, if it's a word of the Lord, if you don't lay hold of it and mix it with faith, unless it is a sovereign move of God that God is going to do sovereignly and it's not conditional, there are some moments like that. But if you don't lay hold of it, mix it with faith, you may not see the manifestation of it. God says, it's available, I have this for you, but if you don't lay hold of it, it'll be there, maybe, hopefully, until you get ready to lay hold of it. But it didn't profit because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest. When you believe, you enter the rest of God. When you cease from your own labors and you trust God with the situation, you trust God with the money, you trust God with the family, you trust God with the career, you trust God with the ministry, you trust God with the health, you trust God with the situation, then you cease from your own labors and you enter into his rest, saying, Lord, I cast all of my care upon you, for you care for me. Now I enter into your rest, and you're driving this thing, and I am just yielding and submitting. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be like the servants at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, where Jesus' mom said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. When you are in that mode, you are operating in the rest of God. Lord, I trust you. And whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. I'll let you drive. I'm ceasing from my labors. I'm ceasing from doing it my own way, and I'm entering in to your way of doing things. That's the rest of God. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience or unbelief, he again fixes a certain day, saying today. Today is the day of salvation. Through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would have not spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The Sabbath rest is not a day, it's a person. In the reality, there is a Sabbath rest under the old covenant. But the one who has entered his rest has also rested from his works. What does it say? The one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. You know, when I have gone on vacation, I have work diligently to make sure that I have all loose ends tied up before I go on vacation. That I have all my work complete, everything done. One, part of me feels like if I work hard, I get to play hard. If I put in the work, then I should be able to receive the benefit. If I have the work wrapped up, then I can enjoy my vacation and my mind isn't on what's back there waiting for me. Because if your mind doesn't go on vacation, you don't really go on vacation. Just because your body goes to the Caribbean, if your mind doesn't go with you, if your mind is back in Central Texas, then are you really vacating? So work precedes rest. And when I understand how hard I work, I deserve this vacation. When I understand how hard I've worked or the work that I put in, the more I understand how much work has been put in, the more I enjoy my vacation. I'll say that one more time. The more I understand how hard I worked all year for this vacation, I have saved for this vacation. I have done what I needed to do for this vacation. I have finished stuff at my job. Stuff at the house is taken care of. I've worked very hard. That's all set. If I believe that there is something not taken care of, that there is work still outstanding while I'm on vacation, I won't vacate. I won't rest. I don't really enter into enjoying my vacation until I understand that the work is done. What's the lesson? You will never appreciate and enter in, truly enter into the rest of God if you think there is still outstanding work. Amen. To the degree that you understand the work that has been done, the work that has been put in through Christ, is the degree that you understand the rest of God, and you will operate and enter into that rest. That you will enter into the fullness of what God has for you because you understand the work that he has already put in. Many believers are not resting because they don't understand how much work has already been accomplished. He has ceased from his works. He has ceased from his labor. Jesus said, "It is finished." He has seated himself at the right hand of God, awaiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. If I understand the work that he's put in, now it's a matter of me entering into his rest and allowing him to flow in my life, work in my life. I cooperate, I submit, I obey, I flow, but I'm not driving the bus. He is. He is putting in the work because he's already put in the work. I must understand the work that has been accomplished and finished if I'm truly to enter into his rest. Because if I don't, I will still have the mentality and mindset that I'm in control, that I have to do this, that I have to get this done. And if I don't get it done, it's not going to get done. The next thing, you have to give God vessels to fill. Walking and experiencing the fullness of God, you have to give God vessels to fill. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 14. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among those are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. All of the vessels are in the house, but not all the vessels are the same. According to this verse, all the vessels, let's read it again. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but there are some other kinds of vessels. There are vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, what are these? He told us what these were in the verses we read. Worldly and empty chatter, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, talk that leads to further ungodliness that spreads like gangrene. I'm sure gossip goes somewhere in there. If you cleanse yourself of these things, you will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master. You are sanctified in Christ positionally, but there is an active sanctification that continually takes place in the life of a believer as you grow, as you develop, as you mature, and you are walking out the fact that you are set apart, that you are unique, that you are special. To be useful to God, to be useful to the master, prepared for every good work, you want to make sure that there is nothing blocking his ability and your ability to walk in all that he has for you. You want to be, and the goal is to be, a vessel of honor kinetically. God has already blessed you positionally. The water supply is there. Your salvation is secure. You're going to heaven. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there is a job to be done here on earth. He has called us to establish the kingdom on earth and to be a vessel of honor that God can use, that we can walk in and experience his fullness here on the earth. He says, cleanse yourself of these things. And he tells us what the things are. Now, many times the religious mind, when they hear cleanse yourself of these things, their mind immediately goes to some certain key church things. Notice none of them are in the list that the church, the religious church, would typically go to. Now, those things still are not good. I'm just saying that they're not in the list in this verse. But the attitude of the believer should be, Lord, here am I, use me. Here is an open vessel for you to use, for you to fill. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one more vessel." And the oil stopped. When did the oil stop? When there was nowhere else to put it. When she ran out of vessels and there was no more vessels, that's when the oil stopped. The oil didn't stop when there wasn't enough oil. The oil stopped when there was no longer a place to put it. Make sure you're giving God a place to put the anointing. Make sure you're giving God a place to put the blessing. Make sure you're giving God a place to put the manifestation of the blessing. You are blessed. You are already blessed in all things in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. But experiencing and walking in that blessing in its fullness and manifestation in specific circumstances in your life, make sure you're giving God vessels to pour into. Those vessels can be your words, where God says, "I can act on that." That's the word of God. Ministering angels hearken to the word of the Lord. I can feel that word. Your vessel may be a step. "Lord, I don't know what the end thing looks like, but I'm going to take a step here because I know you've called me to it." And God says, "I can fill that vessel." Your vessel may be a bank account. "I don't have any money right now, Lord, but I'm opening this bank account. I've got enough money to do that. I'm opening this bank account, and I'm expecting you to fill it. Now that you filled that bank account, I'm opening another bank account, and I'm expecting you to fill it. Now that you've got something in there, I'm opening another bank account, and I'm expecting you to fill it. I've got 7 or 8 bank accounts, and they're all for different things. All of them have something in them. When I first opened them, it was not that way. Some of them have more in them than my natural mind or thinking thought they would have in them this soon. But it seems like the manifestation arose to the place given. Are you making a place for what God has for you? Are you giving him vessels to fill? Because the supply is not the problem. The reception may be. The vessels, you've heard financial planners talking about diversifying your portfolio. Have some investments here, some investments here, some investments here. God is saying, do you have a diversified portfolio in the kingdom? Have you given him vessels to work through and fill in different arenas and different areas of your life? When it comes to finances, it's good to have an account. If you don't have one account, start with one. But beyond that, it's good to have a diversity of accounts as the Holy Spirit leads you. You don't try to be like anybody else. You only be who God has called you to be. But as the Holy Spirit directs you and allows you to, open up different accounts and say, "Lord, I don't have anything but the $25 or however much it is now to open it. But I'm expecting that when I do, because you've led me in this direction, that you will fill it, that you will get something in it for starters, and it will continue to grow." Now, as the resources come in, you have to apply them to the right places. He gives seed to the sower. That means he gives seed to the one he knows is going to sow it. He puts resources in your hand. He called his servant to him and said, "While I'm gone, do business and take care of the servants here and give them their meals and their bread at the proper time. Give them their rations at the proper time, the Bible says. We are stewards. Therefore, if I have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 accounts, I have to make sure that as the supply comes through, I am directing them into the appropriate accounts. God can give you an overflowing financial blessing. But if you don't do with it what you're supposed to do with it, and you don't steward it correctly, it's not God's fault. Don't waste supply. Even if it's a penny, if you'll be faithful with a penny, you'll be faithful with a nickel, you'll be faithful with a dime and a dollar and so on and so on. Some people, some believers say, well, it's only $10, I'll just do whatever. I'll go buy a burger. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with going to get a burger, especially if it's Hop Dotties or Mighty Fine. Yes, you do. But it's just $10, I'll be flippant with it. No, especially if $10 is all you have. Jesus said this woman put in more than anybody else, because while what she put in to natural eyes was little, it was all she had. If $10 is a lot of money for you right now, it's important what you do with it and how you steward it. And if you just do willy-nilly with it and you don't treat that $10 as a resource, you don't treat that dollar as a resource and say, look, if I have to put 10 cent as my tithe and give an offering and I've got some change left over, then I'm going to take that change and I'm going to do something purposeful with it. If God tells you to buy a Snickers bar with it, then so be it. But if God tells you to put it in the change bucket, how are you stewarding the little that you have? That is another vessel that God says, I can fill that good stewardship and bring more. So learn to diversify within the kingdom, saying, Lord, you can flow through this. You can flow through this. You can fill this. You can fill that. Why? Because I've made a place. I've given place for it, both in the spirit and in the natural. Pastor Jim used to say all the time, I'm making a place for this car, so don't park there, because I'm giving God something to fill. The oil stopped flowing when there were no more vessels. Make sure you're giving God vessels to fill. Make sure you're diversifying your portfolio, so to speak, within the kingdom. If you have an investment account, God can fill that. If you have a checking account, God can fill that. If you have a savings account, God can fill that. If you have stock, God can fill that. If you're being faithful to what he's called you to, God, you can fill that. There are resources and vessels and channels. God flows through channels. God is not raining money out of the sky. God flows through channels. He flows through people. He can put money in the mouth of a fish. But it's going to come through some vessel. Pastor Jim used to say, if he has to put it in the mouth of a dog to bring it to me, he'll get it to me. But look around you and observe and have the mindset, there are tons of vessels, channels, resources around me that God could use to bring it to me. I'm not going to get caught up on any one of them and say, that's my source. If you have a job, then say, God, you can fill that. But you can also fill my bank account without that job. God, you can fill my job, but you can also fill this investment account. I'm not going to get tied to either one because I'm diversified. If God's not flowing through that vessel or that channel, he may be flowing through this one, but it's okay because I got 30 or 40. I'm diversified in the kingdom. Make sure you are giving God vessels to fill with his fullness. It's not just finances. I know I went there for a few minutes. It's not just finances, but it is every arena, every area of your life. Lastly, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. There is an investment that's made in the kingdom. We shared this with you last week or the week before. We shared these verses with you. When you invest in the kingdom, what you invest is pennies compared to what your return is. But you have to let go of this over here to embrace that which is of more value. It says, from joy over it. I am so joyful about what I know God has for me that's better than what I can have for myself. I let go of self, and that sacrifice becomes an investment, because for the joy, have you heard that before? For the joy set before me, he endured the cross. It says here, for the joy of knowing the value of this land, he goes and sells. When you're joyful, you'll do interesting things. Can't nobody offend you. You will give, you will sacrifice. That's why God loves a cheerful, joyful giver. Because when you're cheerful, you'll go and sell it, you'll give it, you'll invest it, because you understand what's coming next. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he kept what he had. No, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. The kingdom of God is of great value. But it takes an investment to experience it in its fullness, the way it was intended to be experienced. But the news is that the return is always going to be greater than the investment. Lord, I don't want to do this. It is just too hard. Lord, I don't want to sacrifice this. It is just too hard. Many times we treat the investment like it's more valuable and bigger than the return. And it's not in the kingdom of God. Now in the world, you know, markets go up and down. Many times if you just stay the course, you'll come out on top. But the kingdom of God is not up and down. Paul said the word that came to us was not yes and no, but yes. And amen, so be it. The kingdom of God is not up and down. So when you invest, whatever you invest, whatever you give up for the kingdom of God, there is much more coming. The return is always going to be greater than the investment that was made. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, and we're closing. Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What are you going to do for us? You know what he said? Hey, folks is folks. People understand that when I give, at least Peter did, I'm looking for a return. So what would there be for us? And Jesus said, you are absolutely right. There's going to be something for you. He didn't rebuke him for expecting the abundance. He didn't rebuke him to say, Peter, you should just be fine with what you gave. You gave. Just give it all up. What? Why do you need something in return? That wasn't his response. He said, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Another account says will receive many as times as much in this life and in the life to come. The reward is both on this side and the other side. And many times we lose track of the reward on the other side, but there is reward on the other side. Don't think everything and don't treat everything like it is on this side. You should hold it loosely as a steward, not as a possessor, knowing that God said, if you can steward this here on the earth, when the new age comes and there's a new heaven and new earth, God has much more for you to rule over. So walking in the fullness of God, there is an investment. But when you make an investment in the kingdom of God and what God is saying and what God is doing, know that what God is returning, what God is giving back, the overflow, the abundance, the reward, physically, mentally, socially, ministry-wise, family-wise, financial, everything, in every arena, in every area, God said there's nothing that I've called you to do that when you give up, when you sacrifice to do that thing, that there's not much reward and return coming on that thing. Amen? Amen. Pastor Richard?
Praise God. Good word. Walking in the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Father God, we come before you again and we thank you for the word that we have heard. We thank you, Father, that in your word there is life, there is truth, there is light. And Father, in all these things, I thank you that you are bringing us and you will continually stir. Holy Spirit, you said that you would remind us of the things of God, remind us of things of the Word. So, Father, as we meditate the Word, I thank you that you continually bring to us, bring to our remembrance the things, the principles that we've heard, the exhortation that we've heard, that we may walk in your fullness. Father, I thank you that the word will not be stolen from us, but it is planted in our hearts and it is sealed with the Holy Spirit, that it will not be stolen, but it will produce much fruit in our lives. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for being here in our midst, Father. You said that where we would gather in your name, that you would be with us. So I thank you, Father, that you have been here. Thank you for your anointing, for your presence, for your peace and for your joy and all that you are, all that you are. We give glory and honor and praise. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Brian ministered spiritually to us. Let's bless him physically with some green or whatever color your checkbook is. You can spell thousands, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. Let's be sure and bless Brother Brian. I call you blessed. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. That you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you are the sons of the Most High God, children of God. And you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. that you walk in the high places that God has provided in your path, and you receive and you accept the blessings that are laid in your path. And everywhere you go, you are successful, and you are the essence of the Godhead, of God Himself. You are His a bearer of His presence, an ambassador of His will and His goodness. You are blessed. You're loved. Don't forget the announcements. Praise team tomorrow night, Saturday or Friday morning, 6:15, men's prayer and communion. Saturday night, 7:00, prayer meeting, and other things that are happening. You are dismissed. Go with God. You are loved.